In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. It's as simple as that. Might not make sense. You might wish he came to you in another way, but that's the way it is. The Lord Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. He joins himself flesh to flesh and blood to blood with you, and you're forgiven. You live. The scribes and Pharisees grumble. Doesn't he know what kind of people they are? Why should he receive them and not us? Consider your life and deeds and know that you wouldn't have escaped their judgment either. The Pharisees would have grumbled against you, and with good reason. They at least kept the law outwardly. But can you do even that? Consider the lost sheep. It wanders in ignorance. It strays aimlessly and helplessly, unable to return. This is your sinful nature. You wander from God's word. You stray from gathering with the saints, from receiving Jesus' forgiveness, life, and salvation. He would sit at table and feed you, his body and blood. But you go away. You may not know what's out there, just that it's better than under the watchful eye of the shepherd. How will you have strength to return if you stray and wander unnourished? Consider the lost coin. It's an inanimate object. It just lays there, incapable of contributing any effort to its own finding. It lays in darkness and in dust. So are you, dead in sins and trespasses. And what covers you is sin, unrighteousness, wickedness, and uncleanness. You in no way cooperate with God in your salvation. You add or contribute nothing. But you like being hidden and having your secrets. You think if men can't see what you do in private, God can't either. There's an excitement in doing as you like as long as you're hidden. But no darkness can hide your sins from God. Repent. Consider the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus graciously forgives sinners, and they grumble and complain. Yet it's his right and authority to do so, for he is God. They blaspheme by seeking to deny the mercy of God to those most in need. Are you any different? What do you do when you don't get your way? When others have more than enough, and you struggle just to get by? When you've lost out to someone you deem unworthy? You grumble and complain. But who are you to deny the gracious provision of God in Christ? Consider even life in the church. What do you do when one who's sinned and fallen repents and is restored? Do you rejoice with heaven over the restored sinner, or do you hold a grudge? Would you begrudge Jesus to be merciful to those to whom he shall show mercy? Secure and self-assured in your impenitence, you are more like the scribes and Pharisees than you care to admit. Ultimately, it doesn't matter if you're like the sheep or coin or like the scribes and Pharisees. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The devil seeks someone to devour. And it makes no difference to him who you are. All he seeks and desires is your destruction and damnation. And yet Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. He would receive and feast with the scribes and Pharisees just as he did with the tax collectors and sinners, just as he does with you now. The difference is faith and repentance. The scribes and Pharisees have none. They despise and reject the Son of God standing before them in the flesh, their very Messiah, trusting rather in themselves. But the tax collectors and sinners have nothing. They've not come to try to justify themselves before Jesus. They have come in repentance and faith. They have come to receive from Him what He knows and desires for them to have to be best. All they have is the gospel, and so confess their sins and cling steadfastly to Jesus. You must be like them. Thus the parables. They're not about you, but about Him who needs no repentance. They're about Jesus and His overwhelming and incalculable love and mercy for you. Jesus is the good shepherd who can stand no loss. He leaves the 99 to search for and seek out the one. But what is one among so many? It makes no sense. No matter, Jesus must seek you out. He must rescue you from the lion, the wolf, and the pit. Jesus must rescue you from death, for such is His love for you and obedience to His Father's will. And in love for you, in obedience to His Father on your behalf, Jesus places Himself in the very danger that threatens you. He submits to the very death which dooms you. Jesus willingly gives His flesh into the jaws that lacerate and strangle. And by filling the lion's mouth with His flesh and blood, Jesus tears Him to pieces, proving Himself the divine and greater Samson. The lion is defeated, and Jesus lives. You are rescued and redeemed, and heaven celebrates with a joy that cannot be contained or described. Thus, Jesus now gives you a new eternal mother in holy baptism, His holy church. She loves you with the perfect and holy love of her bridegroom. She cleanses you by His blood and feeds you with His good gifts. But what if when you fall again into sin? Does she abandon you? Not at all. She seeks you out to return you to Jesus. She's the woman of the second parable. Poor in the sight of men, she yet spares nothing to find her lost child. She lights the lamp, which is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. She calls you by the gospel. She sweeps out all false doctrine and searches diligently for you, beckoning you in from the darkness of death and into the light of life by the Word and Holy Sacraments. And when you're found and turn again in repentance, she who seems poor spares no expense to celebrate. She calls together the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven to rejoice and celebrate with her. For the one who was lost is found, and the one who was dead is alive again in Jesus Christ. Such is your infinite worth before God in heaven. You are the one worth more than 10, worth more than even 99. God withholds nothing, spares no expense to have you as His own, not even His only Son, Jesus Christ, who endures all things, gladly and willingly to claim you as His own, to give Himself to you as food and drink. The parables aren't about the sheep or coin, but about the shepherd who suffers the loss. And if the loss is His, then so also is the joy. Repent, confess your sins, and do not be afraid. The lion cannot have you. Jesus pardons your iniquities and treads them underfoot. He passes over your transgressions and casts all your sins into the depths of the sea. Jesus finds you, rescues you, and cleanses you. You are the joy in which He delights. Indeed, Even the holy angels rejoice over you because of Jesus. Yours is a worth that can't be calculated because of Jesus. He himself seeks you out and redeems you by his blood. So it is that when you are baptized, when you hear the Holy Scriptures, when you repent, when you receive the Holy Communion, the holy angels chant such a Te Deum as would shake the earth to its foundations. They rejoice in all that Jesus does in mercy, all that he does for you in love. As often happens in the Gospels, what's meant as an accusation and judgment against Jesus is in fact a clear confession of the gospel. Yes, this man does indeed receive sinners and eat with them. And thanks be to God that he does. He receives you, working repentance in you by his Holy Spirit and filling you with his forgiveness and life. The feast of God's great joy is ready, for the Son is sacrificed to unite you with the Father in the Spirit. So don't think it an accident that you kneel shoulder to shoulder with your fellow sheep and coins. And don't think it a light thing either that the angels in heaven rejoice to see it. Gathering together in worship around the Word and Holy Sacraments brings joy to God, to the angels, and to the whole company of heaven. It brings joy for your Lord Jesus to speak comforting words to all heavy of heart and downtrodden sinners. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save you. Your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.